Mr. President? A Secret Service agent had picked up the phone. FBI, sir. Ryan pulled the phone from its holder under the desktop. Yes? Dan Murray here. Sorry to bother you, but we need guidance on who's running the investigation. What's the law say for this? It doesn't. I guess we call it a terrorist incident. The Bureau is the lead agency on this. Pick a good man to run things. Yes, sir. Dan, who's senior over at FBI? The associate director is Chuck Floyd. I don't know him. I do know you. You're acting director until I say otherwise. Jack, I... Dan, you've got the job. Yes, Mr. President. The presidential motorcade headed rapidly east, arriving at the home of the commandant of the Marine Corps. But the commandant was dead. A widower with grown children, he'd lived here alone until this last night. Now, a full colonel stood on the porch with a platoon spread around the house. Jack walked into a bedroom to find his wife sitting. Hi. Jack? Her head turned. It's all true? The president's dead? Kathy saw her husband nod. Ryan reached for his collar and pulled the tie loose. I have to sleep. They get me up at 5. What are we going to do? I don't know. Jack managed to get out of his clothes, hoping that the new day would contain some answers. In the morning, Ryan met his staff in the dining room. Good morning, Mr. President, Andrea Price said. Dan, what do we know?
We found the body of the pilot about 2 hours ago. His name was Sato, very experienced airplane driver. We've just recovered over 200 bodies.
President Durling? Price handled that one with a shake of the head. Not yet. Murray consulted his notes. The aircraft flew out of British Columbia. He declared an emergency and asked for a vector to Andrews. From Andrews to the Hill is barely a minute's flying time. Anything from Japan?
They're in a national state of shock.
This came from Scott Adler, the senior career official in the State Department, and one of Ryan's friends. We got a call from the Prime Minister. He wants to come over to apologize personally to us. I told him we'd get back.
Tell him yes.
You sure, Jack? Arnie Van Dam asked. Does anybody think this was a deliberate act? Ryan countered. Adler shook his head. This was not an act by their government. Put it this way. If somebody over there planned this, they'll find out for us. What do I tell the media? Before him was a printed sheet for his morning TV appearances, which had been selected by lot. CNN at 7:08, CBS at 7:20, NBC at 7:37, ABC at 7:50, Fox at 8:08, all from the Roosevelt Room of the White House. Softball questions, Van Dam assured him. Answer them. Look as relaxed as you can. Roger's kids? We have the family members in town. They're at the White House now. The presidential procession headed up Pennsylvania. The sun was up now, and it took a moment to realize that the skyline was wrong. It'll be okay, Van Dam told him, seeing the look and knowing what the new president had to be thinking.
No, it won't, Jack could not reply.
This Ryan boy, Darii was 72, was the American government, and he was not impressed with what he saw. The United States of America had thwarted him for years, but America was, if not quite headless, then nearly so. Just one man, Darii thought, not hearing the words from the television interview now. The rest of the day was a blur. Even while living through it, Ryan knew that he'd never really remember more than snippets. The country had essentially come to a halt, even as its new president struggled to come to terms with his job. After an emotional visit with the Durling kids, Ryan said to Andrea Price, "Get me the hell out of here." At the house, Kathy was waiting at the entry. She only needed one look.
Tough one?
All Ryan could do was nod. He held her tight. His eyes caught the knot of agents around the entry hall, and it occurred to him that he'd have to get used to them, present in the most private of moments.
"I hate this job,"